Thank you so much, Rochelle. I appreciate that good number. Not only talks about the Christmas season, but also emphasizes the purpose of Christ's coming, which ultimately was to die on the cross for our sins. Let me see, is Brother Josh still in the room? Brother Josh, the music director. Pastor Lopez, could you find him somewhere? He's out there doing something very important. Just a moment, you don't have to bring him in. Just let me give you an instruction, Pastor Lopez. Let me give you an instruction. See if you can find Brother Josh and tell him that I have not heard O Holy Night sung. Have I heard it yet this year? Have I heard it yet this year? I have not. That will take place during the candle service. Have him ready to go with it. Thank you. It's easy to work for me. All right. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 2. I'd love to hear that. How many would just like to hear O Holy Night? I was just thinking, I was thinking about it. That's just off the top of my head. It's random. If he can, he will. If he can't, he won't. Luke chapter 2. Maybe I'll sing it. Let's just move on with the message. Luke chapter 2, of course, in your Bible tonight. It is interesting because preachers always have a bit of a dilemma beginning in the month of December, because you preach on Christmas frequently throughout the month of December, and you kind of go through the shepherd thing and the angel thing, and you talk about the manger thing, and you cover all the essentials of the Christmas story, and yet it always seems like there's at least one or two sermons left, and you have to cover something more to the Christmas story. So tonight, we're going to deal with something that is what I'm going to call an extension of the Christmas story. It actually took place after the first Christmas, but was Christmas for a particular lady in the Bible. Her name is Anna, so I'm entitling my message tonight, Anna's Christmas. Now, it did not happen on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. It was several days later that we're going to look at this, but that's okay. That's okay because this lady received, though late by calendar dating, she received the greatest Christmas gift anyone could ever receive. But to get the background, we're in Luke chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse number 25. Now here we're going to be introduced to an interesting man, a godly man by the name of Simeon, who had a reputation of faithfulness around the temple and was a man who was looking for the Messiah. All Jews were expectant that a Messiah would come, but there were some Jews, very dedicated Jews, who were actively seeking the Messiah, believing that he would reveal himself in the temple. They would come on a daily basis to the temple, not only to worship, but with an expectant heart, looking for the Messiah's arrival. Luke chapter 2, verse number 25. The Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." That is speaking of the Messiah. "And the Holy Ghost was upon him." So he was a spiritual man. "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." What a tremendous revelation. You say, "Pastor, why was it that God favored this man with that great revelation that he would not die until he had seen the Lord?" I believe it was because of his dedication to Christ. He was devout and he was just. Now, I want everyone to pause because kind of the tipping point of the message, this is part of it, you need to hear this. Someone said to me one time, "Pastor Monty, God treats everybody equally." That is not true. That is not true. "Oh, no, wait a minute, Pastor. God is no respecter of persons." Oh, I couldn't agree more. That is what the Bible says. However, listen carefully. While God gives equal opportunity, he blesses specifically those who take hold of the opportunity to obey. I want you to understand something. Not every Christian will be blessed equally with every other Christian. Our blessing is frequently based upon our level of obedience. In my Sunday school class, for example, this morning, I was teaching out of Psalm 1, and the Bible uses the words there, "Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Well, who will prosper? The godly man. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." That's Psalm 1. Now, who is the person who is prospering? The person who is not taking counsel from the ungodly. The person who is not sitting in the seat of the scornful. Those are the things that will keep a person in the way of prosperity. The one who delights in the word of God, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The difference difference between a prosperous Christian and a non-prosperous Christian is not somehow, well, you know, God up in heaven sort of gave blessings to this individual, all kinds of blessings poured out upon him randomly, but this guy over here kind of got left out. No, no. God gives opportunity to each. It is what we do with the opportunity that will make a difference. And so an individual who is obedient will see more of the blessing of God than an individual who is disobedient. By the way, it is the same thing with the gospel. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. That means everyone is savable. Everyone is savable. Well, Pastor, does that mean that everybody will be saved? No, no. Only those who believe will be saved. But the opportunity is available to all. There's not one person in this world that cannot be saved. There is not one person outside of the pale of what we call God's prevenient grace. There is not one person that could not, repenting of their sins, come to trust Christ as their Savior, believing on Him. There is not one person outside of the invitation of the grace of God. The gospel is equal opportunity, but not all will avail themselves. Those who do not avail themselves of the gospel will not have the blessings of eternal life in heaven. The same thing is true with the Christian life. Those who live in disobedience will not know the full riches of the blessing of God. So Simeon, I believe, had this opportunity to actually see the Lord, as we'll see in a moment, to see the Lord because of his godliness. The Holy Spirit said, "You'll not die until you see the Lord's Christ." Verse 27. And he, Simeon, came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, this is after Jesus has already been born, he has already been circumcised, then took he up, Simeon took him, Christ, up in his arms, and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Wow. Notice the after Christmas that Simeon received. "Which thou hast prepared," Simeon declared, "before the face of all people, a light," as he's holding the baby Jesus. Think of this. Simeon said, "a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." And verse number 25, I'll not dwell on these words, but doubtless they were troubling words to the young mother Mary. "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Jesus came, of course, in the joy of what we now refer to as Christmas, but Jesus is the most controversial figure in all of history. And so Simeon, holding that baby, proclaimed that he was looking into the eyes of the Lord's salvation. He also proclaimed he was looking into the eyes of the most controversial child to ever be born. Then verse number 36. Now, but don't look there, don't look though. Before we go there, I want you to picture this. Here is Mary and Joseph standing in the temple. Here is Simeon now holding the baby Jesus. Simeon has made this declaration, and doubtless he was not being whispering. I'm sure he was speaking at probably a very loud voice because he was excited about seeing the Lord's Christ. Now, Simeon was a regular at the temple, and so was another person, a lady known as a prophetess by the name of Anna. We're about to read about her in just a moment. I think when I look at the story, I can easily read between the lines that Simeon and Anna, because of their proximity, their faithfulness to the temple, doubtless they knew one another. And Anna had seen them standing together, this little group of people, and perhaps, I think, really had overheard what Simeon had uttered as she was walking up. And the Bible is plain about this because it says immediately, or at that very instant, she walked up. And rather than be shy about it, not knowing these people, she immediately joined the conversation because she was comfortable in the presence of Simeon. She joined the conversation. Look at verse number 36. "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age," very elderly woman, "and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity." She was married a total of 7 years. "And she was a widow, and her age was about 84 years, so about 84 years old. Which departed not from the temple," this lady did, this Anna, "but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel." So Simeon received his gift, Christmas gift, as it were, to see the Lord, and Anna, too, received hers. Now, isn't it interesting? How many of you would say, Pastor Monty, in our home we have a tradition of gift giving? Do you do something special with gift giving, anyone? Okay, two of you, all right. The rest of you just tear into it. That's okay. How many open gifts on Christmas Eve at night? How many do that? Okay, the few parents that want to sleep in the next day. Amen. Very wise parents. How many say, Pastor, we open ours Christmas morning? That's the tradition around our, okay, Christmas morning. Most of us, there's something in there. Now, at the Monty House, Christmas is an interesting phenomenon. Our tradition is to make Christmas, turn it into kind of a swap meet, is what we kind of do. There's a lot of wheeling and dealing that goes along with Christmas, and we don't typically do the thing where we unwrap gifts underneath the tree. I don't know why that is. What I've always done is if I buy Kelly something, I just bring it home, and I'm so excited about the great purchase, I just hand it to her right then and there. Does anyone else do that? I mean, okay, thank you. Thank you, Jake. I appreciate that. Yeah, several other people. I mean, I get so excited about this fabulous gift. That I can't wrap it, and plus it looks horrible if I wrap it. It looks like garbage, and the dog might chew it all up, you know. And so I have all these reasons to not put anything under the tree. Well, the other day, I got even less formal the other day. We were doing some of our shopping at one of Indiana's finest retailers. No, not Macy's, but very close. Not Walgreens yet. That's for the, that you do that on the 24th. Walgreens open 24 hours a day. You could do that Christmas morning. Okay, how many have ever received a Chia Pet? Okay, boy, no hands up. I don't know how that company survives. I'm afraid it's going to go the way of Hostess, and when it does, everybody's going to want one. Okay, up to that time, nobody wanted one. But we were in one of the fine establishments of Indiana, not Macy's department store, but Burlington Coat Factory. How many have been to Burlington Coat Factory? Same stuff Macy's has, same stuff, just cheaper prices. And I heard, this is so romantic what I'm about to share with your congregation, I'd heard a few weeks ago, actually, my wife made the comment that she wanted a longer robe, like a longer bathrobe, longer than the one that she had. She said she, and you know, being independent fundamental Baptist, long is better, right? And so, just kidding. And so I was at Burlington, but now it's awkward for me to go into the robe section for women. That's awkward for me to go. And so I kind of was circling around the area that I thought it might be, and I didn't really want to walk into it. Does everybody, men, do you understand what I'm saying? You know, you don't want to walk into it. People are going to think stuff. It's going to be weird. And so, but then I saw her coming down an aisle, and I'd seen these robes kind of hanging off in the distance, and I saw her coming down. And I said, here, I said, Kelly, come here. Look at this. And I said, do you see that? And she said, yeah, what? I said, well, see, those are long. Aren't they long enough? And she said, what are you talking about? I said, well, a few weeks ago, you mentioned that you wanted a long robe. And she looked at me. She said, ah, you remembered? Yeah, of course I did. I remember. I said, dear, I said, look at these beautiful bathrobes. I said, take your pick. They were $9. Now I'm telling you right now, okay, I'm just telling you right now, that is a great place to shop. Why pay more, okay? $9. And she picked out a beautiful kind of purpley one that has these stuff on it and things and all that. And it's nice. And it was $9. He said, preacher, what did you do? I marched that thing right up to the cash register. She had picked out some other clothes she wanted, and I was about to just pay for that, you know. And then she pushed the other clothes into the pile. And, oh, well, you never get a break, so I paid for all the rest of that stuff. I think it came like $22 or something like that. I mean, it was up there somewhere. And that was one of her presents. But it's about that. You say, Pastor Monty, that is so informal. But you know what? We have fun with things like that. And just kind of, that's our family tradition, okay? That's our, plus when you're greedy, you get your stuff faster. But in the case of Anna, think about this. She didn't have Christmas till some days after Jesus was born. I mean, he'd already been circumcised, which takes place on the eighth day. Then there was a matter of fulfilling the law. So it was sometime later when Mary and Joseph came to dedicate Jesus at the temple that he was presented to Simeon, who understood this was the Lord's Christ, and then Anna saw him. Now, preacher, why do you think God, of all the people in the world, and I'm focusing on Anna tonight, Simeon, of course, declared this baby to be the Lord's Christ. Why do you think that of all the people in Jerusalem, think with me, all the powerful people of Jerusalem, but by the way, all the religious people of Jerusalem, the leaders of Jerusalem, and the Pharisees in Jerusalem, and all of the people who had an exacting, in detail, adherence, so they thought, to the traditions of the law, why would it be that of all of the people that could have been present at the temple and could have seen Jesus, why would it be Simeon, and then, in particular, why this lady Anna? Why this lady Anna? Do you know why? Because I'm going to show you in a moment that there were certain things about Anna's life that gave her favor with the Lord. Now look this way carefully. I will recall, and I want you to think back to the Annunciation of Mary, where the angel announces the birth of Jesus coming. Remember Mary, what the angel said to Mary, "Thou art highly favored among women." Why? God favors you. Now listen carefully. While God is no respecter of persons, follow what I'm saying, He favors those who walk in obedience, so those who walk in obedience see greater blessing. I know what I'm saying right now is a disconnect with people's thinking today, because people think everybody should win, everyone should get a reward, whether you're good, bad, or otherwise, everybody should get a piece of candy, and everyone goes on their merry way. But that's not the teaching of the Bible. The Bible teaches that those of us who are faithful to God's Word, who love the Lord from our heart, and who manifest a certain level of dedication, can fully expect the favor of God in a special way. Now listen, it doesn't mean your life will be without heartache and trial and problems and things. Doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean that the closer we are to God, the more blessings we receive from His hand, the more we recognize these things, and the more freely God gives us of His grace. What was special then about Anna? Let me give you just a few ideas tonight, and we'll conclude our service with the candlelight thing. Number one, I think I love this. Anna was a gracious woman. She was a gracious woman. Pastor Monty, where do you find that? Well, she was 84 years old, and she had aged gracefully. How do you know? Well, because she had experience in life, listen, some of which was negative, and it didn't stop her from worshiping God. You follow me for a moment. For the vast majority of her life, her adult life, with the exception of 7 years, this woman was a widower. A widow. Far too early to have been widowed after only 7 years of marriage. Far too early. And something we all think in our hearts, well, you know, Pastor, if something like that happened to me, I mean, at the very moment when life was just starting to get going, if something happened like that to me, I'd be bitter. And you know, there are a lot of people in this room who could look at something in your life, and if you wanted to, you could turn it to bitterness. The record of Anna is one of grace and not bitterness. Congregation, please listen to me. I alluded to it in the morning service. It just bothers me how much time we waste with bitterness against people and even against God. It really bothers me. Let me talk about this for a minute. How brief is our life? How brief? I was thinking about this today, and so I went through my records and did a little research. And I'm going to name some names this evening, and these are folks that were members of our church. I understand that over the course of the year, I've had more funerals, and our church has had more funerals than the ones I'm going to name. But these were folks who were members of our church. They were actually members of Faith Baptist Church. And I went back through the record to see how many folks were, roughly speaking, here last year at this time and are now in the presence of the Lord in heaven. I sometimes it's instructive, you know. So much happens over the course of the years. And I'm going to read the names. John Walker went home to be with the Lord this past year, somebody that I really got to know closely. Myrtle Livingston, Oren's mom, loved the Lord, went home to be with the Lord this year. David Cox. I love to go riding mules with David Cox. He had a mule and a couple horses. He had this big mule, the most beautiful, gentle mule you ever saw. Its name was the Preacher. That was its name. I got to ride the Preacher whenever I rode that mule. He was a great mule. He's now, by the way, out, I think, in either Montana or Wyoming. He moved out west after Dave passed away. Some folks out there bought him. Jim Freeman went home to be with the Lord. And Jim, I got to be close to him, and I saw Mary. I saw so much of Christ alive in his life. That was spectacular. Corb Tillman, longtime member here at Faith, he went home to be with the Lord. Melody Pippin went home to be with the Lord this year. These are members, folks that are members. My records, I hope I got all the names tonight, but I went through my records as carefully as I could. Those are members of the church. In addition to that, there are folks in this room that are grieving some losses that are fairly fresh. And you know, when you think about that, and you think about how we don't know, and you think about the fact that all of us are here present tonight, but there could be any number. I named six names this evening. There could be any number of people that are here tonight that won't be with us when we have this service this time next year. It really makes you think how foolish it would be to spend your life in bitterness. Pastor Monty, God didn't give me a fair shake. God's always fair. I should never be bitter against him. Pastor Monty, so-and-so did such and such. I think we need to just get over it and move on. You know why? Because life is too short. And you only have one of two choices. You either get over it or you spend the rest of your days in bitterness. What a horrible way to live life. I admired Anna as I read this story because she was really, 7 years isn't a long time. I guess by marriage statistics today, 7 years might seem as an eternity for some. But really, by any reasonable standard, 7 years of marriage is not long. And then to have your husband pass away, she could have been very, very bitter, and yet the Bible records that she was not. She had faced her problem, and she faced it with grace. She had experienced the good and the bad of life and decided that she would embrace the Lord. She was not bitter. She loved God, and she trusted in his plan. May I encourage you about this? Don't allow disappointments to color your entire life. I've really learned this. When something really disappoints you or hurts your feelings, do you know what you need to do? You need to shake it off as quickly as possible and go on. I'm really giving you good advice tonight. Well, Pastor, you know, I need time to let it simmer. I understand in deep grief. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not minimizing deep grief, but I'm talking about little personal things. We get offended with one another. Someone says something that, well, you wouldn't believe what she did, the look on her face. Yeah, you see the look on yours sometime. things like that, those little things. Just shake some of that off and be able to move on. She was a gracious lady. She believed in God against all contrary evidence. I guess she had some contrary evidence seeing that her husband had died, and yet she continued in her faith. She was gracious. Number two, I like this. She was expectant. I look at verse number 25. Expectant. Not expecting. She was a widow, but expectant. Verse 25 talks about Simeon. Look what it says. His name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, it's interesting. In verse number 25, Simeon is there in the temple. The Bible describes him as waiting for the consolation of Israel. Drop down to verse number 38. And she, speaking of Anna, she coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them, look at the words, that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So it would seem, comparing verse 25, Simeon, to verse 38, Anna, that they gathered together, and perhaps for many years, the topic of their conversation as they came daily to the temple to worship was, where is this Messiah? Where is the one who is going to deliver Israel? Where is our Savior? And doubtless they discussed it. They were expecting the Lord to come. Anna came to the temple every day. You say, Pastor, why? She came to worship, but she came hoping to see the Messiah. That was the great hope of the Jewish people. Anna took it up a notch and decided that since Messiah would likely reveal himself in the temple, she was going to go every day to make sure she didn't miss out. Oh, by the way, what a great attitude to have in regard to worship. I mean, to be there every time the door is open. Oh boy, I don't want to miss a thing. I might miss something. What a great attitude to have. She was very faithful. She was expecting the Lord. Long years of coming day after day did not dampen her enthusiasm because Anna expected one day that God would show up. That's dedication. The people who see the Lord are people who expect him. Tune in with me, congregation, for a moment. You know what someone said, well, Pastor Monty, you know, some of your sermons are good, some of them are bad. Boy, I know that. I know that. But you know what will change the whole thing? Is if you're expecting the Lord to show up. When I sit down and listen to another preacher preach, I don't want to just critique his outline. I want the Lord to show up. When I sit down to listen to the Word of God, I want the Holy Spirit to take something from the Word of God. And by the way, he can do that with the poorest of preaching. He uses every person in this room in spite of himself, not because of himself. He can take the poorest of preaching, and the Lord can give you something out of that, and God can show up in what is considered the worst, perhaps, oratorical performance available. God can show up in that, and he can transform a life if we're expectant, if we're expectant. Part of the problem with us today when we come to worship, we don't expect God to show up, and so somehow the church needs to clobber us over the head with God, a big God baseball bat, to get our attention. That's part of our problem today. Every person who comes with an expectant heart will eventually see the Lord. Over time, Anna came day after day after day, and she kept her enthusiasm and her expectancy high. She was patient. The Bible records she was 84 years old and still looking. By the way, Pastor Monty, 84. Now, can you imagine? When she was a younger lady, she probably walked into that temple with a little bit of a lilt in her step. But by now, not that 84 is old. I don't want to offend anyone. But my mother is, she doesn't watch this on the program, so I can say it. She's 83 years old, and she's doing very well. Had a knee replacement. She's doing very well. She's getting along better. But she's not as much as she was back when she was in her 40s, okay? And I can see Anna, perhaps as a young lady, went into the temple with a little bit of a spring in her step, but now she's a little older. Maybe she's using a cane, but she's still going. She's faithful, and she's been doing it year after year after year, and someone says, "What's she going there for?" Because she might meet the Messiah. "Hey, Anna, you live a few blocks away from the temple. Why do you take that walk every day? Is it just for your exercise?" And I can see Anna saying, no, not just my exercise. I might see the Messiah. The Messiah might be there." Now, can you see her neighbors shaking their heads? Oh, those crazy Baptists. Like some of your neighbors do, shaking their, well, at least she's getting some fresh air and exercise. Oh, she's got this, boy, she's got this big hope. Day after day, she must be a little loony, you know, one of those crazy religious people with the screw loose. But hey, if it makes her happy, let her go. No, she was patient. She actually believed the promise of God. And she didn't have to have the promise delivered instantly. There's no such thing as instant Christianity. Did you hear what I just said? No such thing as that. If you're going to see God work, there has to be a level of patience in your life. Nothing that is spiritual is instant. God works on a different timetable. I should not give up. And she waited patiently for the consolation of Israel. She was faithful. Look at verse number 37. I love this and have alluded to it. She was a widow 84 years, so 84 years old, and departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She was faithful. She was always there. She was a regular. Pastor, how do you know she knew Simeon? Because both of them were at the temple all the time. Now, honestly, the temple was similar in some ways to a church, in that people would come and go. Some people lived a great distance away, and so they would only come to certain feast days. Other people lived closely and wanted to live close in proximity. They would come more regularly. But here's Simeon, and here's Anna in particular. The Bible says she came every day. Every time those tremendous, gigantic doors were opened in that temple, every time they had their morning sacrifices, here she comes, regular as clockwork, and she would be greatly missed if she wasn't there. But you know what? The key to being missed is to be there every time the door is open. She was faithful. That's something, by the way, that we're losing in our society. "Oh, Pastor, I know, but everyone's pulling me this way and pulling me that way, and I've got this and I've got that." Increasingly, by the way, youth sporting events are taking place on Sundays. Sundays? Come on. Can't you leave Sunday alone? I just don't understand that. Sundays. And we're pulled. We're pulled in 10,000 different directions. And let me tell you, by emphasizing everything, we are emphasizing nothing, and our kids have a very hybrid view of what is important. When everything is important, nothing is important. Well, let me just say that again. When everything is important, Nothing is important. Well, what does that mean? That means I should have a hierarchy of priorities in my life. I love this about Anna. She said, you know, God's number one. What's really important, Anna said, is one day I'm going to walk into that temple, and one day somehow I know I'm going to see the Messiah. My eyes are going to fasten upon him who is the Savior of Israel. I will see Jerusalem's redemption in an individual, the Messiah promised in the Old Testament. That's really important. Nothing else really matters. I'll skip the television show. I'll set the youth sports to a different night. Nothing matters except that I see Jesus. She went every day. Ladies and gentlemen, to have that kind of faithfulness built in our hearts again. I am very fearful as a pastor that that level of faithfulness is the product of what is increasingly a bygone generation. And God help us. You know, some names I read on that list, man, people hear all the time. They're pillars. But you know what we need to do? I'm just going to say it. Young people, out of the young crowd in this church, we need to raise up some pillars that are just faithful as that. Well, Pastor, you know, Anna was just old. She had nothing better to do. No, no. The Bible indicates that she went there every day serving God from the time her husband died. She dedicated herself fully to God. If we come to the place where we accept the idea in society that we should be pulled apart 25 different directions, pretty soon we'll end up in life doing everything and doing nothing, experiencing it all but remembering none of it, viewing everything as of equal importance so that nothing really is important, and somehow, I'm afraid, in the dust and confusion of all of that, the Lord gets set aside. She was very faithful. She was sincere. The Bible says she served God with prayer and fasting. Pastor, how do you know she was sincere? Nothing's more sincere than when people don't eat. I mean, that's real. How many of you have ever, and you've already done it, and the Lord's already rewarded you. I'm not asking you to put your spirituality on display tonight, but have you ever fasted? I have. That's really hard for me. But really, biblically, a fast is not, okay, I'm not going to eat. No, I'm not going to eat. Nope. Walking right by the refrigerator, walking right by the, that's not fasting. A fast is when I'm so concerned about something of a spiritual level that food has no appeal to me because I'm so focused on trying to get connected with God in relation to that issue. That's a fast. It tells me that her heart was very sincere. She spent real time in prayer, something that also is becoming a lost art in a day when all communication can fit into 140 characters. I'm not criticizing that venue of communication because I use it all the time, and if you do not follow me on Twitter, you should. But I'm simply saying that too much of our communication can fit into this tiny little sound bite, and much of our praying is going the same way. Why did Anna have the best Christmas you could possibly have to see the Lord's Christ? Why did she? Because she was dedicated. Why the blessing? Because of all of the things we're talking about tonight. She was sincere in her service to God. She was thankful. She gave thanks in verse 38. And then in verse 38, she was also evangelistic. You know why? The minute she laid eyes on him, she heard what Simeon had said. These two codgers, Anna and Simeon, man, they'd been there day after day after day. They talked about this Messiah. Now they see him. Simeon's made the pronouncement. The Lord, through Simeon, reveals this. Anna had walked up on them instantly. She heard the whole conversation. She looked upon Jesus and she said, "Here is he who will bring redemption to Israel. This is our Savior." And she said, "You know what? I'm going to tell everyone I know about him." Congregation, that kind of heart is why Anna had one of the best Christmases ever. Not some random, she was just chosen randomly because she happened to be there. No. God said, "I have an appointment with this world. My appointment with this world will begin in a little manger in Bethlehem. I have an appointment with this world. My appointment will be when Mary and Joseph bring the baby Jesus into the temple for his dedication and to give the sacrifices according to the Old Testament law." God said, "I have an appointment," because there's two old codgers, the church mice, the people who are at the temple every single day. old Simeon, and then Anna. And Anna's grown old, and her steps have grown weak, and she's a little shaky. But those two church mice, the two old codgers, coming to church all the time, they've been so faithful to me that I will not let them pass through this world until they have seen and held in her arms Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And why? Because they were dedicated. Boy, what a challenge for us tonight. Father, thank you for this wonderful story. Lord, it is included in the Christmas narrative, but often ignored. Father, we look and marvel at this dear lady who served you so faithfully. And you rewarded that dedication with a blessing that many had spoken of, that the famous had wondered about, that the influential had pondered, but that only a few saw in his infancy, the very Savior of the world. Lord, what a message for us about faithfulness and dedication, and how we can see God come down into our lives if we'll give him the same wholehearted dedication as Anna. Thank you for your word tonight. Lord, may these thoughts help us as we rededicate our purpose and our lives to those things which matter most. And in so doing, we will see in every turn and walk of life the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless this thought, we pray. Let's stand.